The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Re'eh. However, if you recall last month, in Parshas Naso, we started to speak about the 12 Nesiim, the 12 princes, in regards to the bringing of the korbanos, the sacrifices and the gifts for the new Mishkan and Mizbeach, sanctuary and altar. And we mentioned that each one's gifts was identical, yet the Torah repeats it over 12 times for each of the 12 Nesim. And we said the reason is explained in the Medrash, because even though each gift had a great deal of wisdom involved in it, where it came for all types of various intentions for which would represent all of Klal Yisrael, actually represented the creation of the world, because the sanctuary was like a world in itself, and Adam Arishon, the first man, and Noach, and Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, and so forth. Nevertheless, each Nosi, each prince, in his own right, would interject into the gifts, into the matonos, his own personal intentions, which would relate to his specific role in history, he and his shevet, he and his tribe. Because the Medrash says, Mercedes biyad kol shevet v'shevet. It was a tradition into the hands of every tribe. In Yaakov Avinu, from Yaakov, kol masho osi le'ore lechol shevet ad yimei samashiach. What is going to happen to each shevet until the days of the Mashiach. So we started to go into the particular roles of each tribe, each of the sons of Yaakov, and how, then also giving examples from the Medrash, how it related to their korbanos. So every set of gifts, although were identical, and they all had an identical general meaning, but at the same time they had each one a different particular meaning. And we spoke of the first three, and that was Yehuda and Yisachar and Zvulun. And then we spoke of the second three, and that was Shimon and that was Reuben and Shimon and God. And then we spoke of the third three, and that was the sons of Yosef, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Yosef. Now we have three left, which I mentioned at the first opportunity we would carry on. So I would like to carry on this evening. Could you close the door, please? I want to carry on this evening. However, again, we won't be able to finish this evening. The three remaining ones are Dan, Asher, and Naphtali. But this evening we'll deal just with Dan. Now firstly, again, to give an idea of what the particular korbanos were. So the Torah tells us that the gifts of each of them were korbanos karis kesev achas. It was a bowl of silver, shleishim umeya mishkola, the weight of 130 shekels of silver, mizrak echad kesev shivim shekel, and then there was a mizrak. A mizrak was round like a kadur, like a ball. That's why it was called a mizrak, like a ball which you throw, and that was like a round basin, and that was the weight of 70 shekel kesev. Shnei maleim seilis, and each one was filled with a fine flour. mixed with oil, and that was for a mincha. Kafachasa sorazob meleaktoris. And then there was a ladle or a spoon, which was very large. We mentioned from the Medrash also it had prongs in it, five prongs. And they would bring one of those, and that was Asora Zahov, and that was out of gold and the weight of 10 shkolim of gold, Meleak Torah, and that was full of incense. Parechod Ben Bokor, and then there was a young bull, an Ayal Echod, a young ram, Keves Echod, a young sheep, which was for the Korban Ola, which was for the burnt offering, Siris Imecha Lechatos, and then there was a goat, which was for the sin offering. Ulezevach Hashlomim, Bokor Shnaim, Elim Chamisho, Aturim Chamisho, Kvosim Neishon Chamisho. And then for the Korban Shlomim, for the peace offerings, there were two bulls, and two rams, and two he-goats. Excuse me. There were two bulls, but there were five rams, five he-goats, and five sheep. These were the korbanos, these were the sacrifices, and these were brought by each individual, again with a general intent for all, which were the matonas, the gifts of all of Israel, and then each one had their own personal intent. All right, now we come to the last three. This starts. I'm saying the last three because even though we're only going to speak about the number 10, not 10 and 11 and 12 this evening, but the last three were all grouped together. Each three represented one camp. And this is what is brought in Parshas Nosei and Bamidbar Zayin, Posuk Samech Vav, B'yema Asiri, on the 10th day, Nosi Livnei Don, the prince of the children of Don, Achiezer ben Amishodai, this was Achiezer, and then the Torah mentions the gifts which we just read. The last three were Don, Osher, and Naphtali. What did they have in common? Because in Parshas Bamidbar, it states that there were three tribes in every camp, and there were four camps, and each one was in one direction. Each camp was known as a Degel Machne. And these three represented the last camp. Bamidbar, Beis, Posachofe, it states Degel Machne Don. Each camp was called on the name of the first one in that camp. And this was called Degel Machne Don. Tzafona Litzivosam, this was on the north side. And next to them in that camp was Osher, the tribe of Osher. And next to them in that camp, it states, was Matan Naphtali, the tribe of Naphtali. In Parshish Baalescho, in Perik Yud Posuchofei, it states, V'nosal Degel Machne Meidon Ma'asiv L'chola Machanais, that when the people traveled and they journeyed, so it was the Machne Don, it was this camp, which was camping on the north side, would be Ma'asiv L'chola Machanais. It would be the last camp to travel, where they would like gather in all and finalize the whole camp of Israel. So this was, they represented the fourth camp, which was the last camp on the north side. Now, Don was the fifth son of Yaakov. His first sons were Reuben, then Shimon, then Levi, then Yehuda, and then Don. And Don was the first son to Rachel, which was born to through her shivcha, through her maidservant Bilhah. After Leah had given birth to four sons consecutively, the ones we mentioned, Reuben, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda, so Rachel cried desperately to Hashem, and it was to no avail. So then she gave her shivcha Bilhah to Yaakov, and the shivcha gave birth to a son, Ben Chamishi, the fifth son, and this was and Rachel called her Don. Call him Don. The Medrash here in Parshas Nosei, Perek Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Posuk Chof Aleph. The Medrash asks, Maro Don lahakriv tchila lahem. What did Don do that he was Eicha, that he merited to become the Rosh of this Machaneh? As we mentioned, in each camp there were three Shvotim, and there was one in front. And the camp was called in his name. So it was like he was the leader of that particular camp. So what did Don do to become the leader of this camp? The Medrash answers, Lefisha Ovi Vikishal Yehuda. Because his father Yaakov, when he blessed him, he compared him to Yehuda. And we know Yehuda was the Melech, was a king. It states, Lo Yosef Shevet Yehuda, that kings will come from Yehuda. Davar HaMelech, Shlem HaMelech, and the Melech HaMashiach. Lefichoch HaYerosh, LeElu SheNisharu. Therefore, Don also became a king to those that remained, in other words, to Asher and Naphtali, and all of their tribes. Kishem Shehuda HaYerosh LeKulam. Just like Yehuda was a Rosh LeKulam, he was the head of all. Is something wrong with the sound? It's okay now? It's working. Now, well, what is the explanation of this? Where do we see that Yaakov compared Don to Yehuda? In Parshas Vayechi, in Bereishis Mem Tes, Pasuk Tes Zayin, when Yaakov was blessing all of the sons, he said, Don Yodin Amai Ki Achad Shifte Yisrael. Don shall judge his people like one of the tribes of Israel. The question is, what does it mean, like one of the tribes of Israel? He shall judge his people like one of the tribes of Israel. So the Chazal Darshan and Rashi brings Ke'echot Shifte Yisrael Ke'meyuchat Shebishvotim. Not like one of the tribes of Israel, but like that tribe that was known as the singular, as the exclusive tribe of Israel. And that was Yehuda, where David came from. To explain this a little more, the king is always known as the single person. Why? Because you have the nation, and you have the king. The Tzibor is made up of many individuals, but they are forged into one nation. But the king is always singular, because he's Al Amai, he's at the head of the nation. And the king is always single, for the reason we just mentioned. And secondly, because there can be only one king. If there are two kings, if he shares his kingship, so he's no longer the king, then you have a committee that's leading the nation. And that's why the king is always known as the singular one. And where the Torah tells us about Avimelech, there it states ki achar ha'am, like the single one of the nation, and it refers to the king. So therefore the Chazal Darshan that when Yaakov said to Don Yodin Amai Ke Achat Shifte Yisrael, Don will judge his nation like one of the tribes of Israel. What does it mean, like one of the tribes of Israel? It means like the one of the tribes of Israel, the tribe of Israel that was known as the singular one, and that was the tribe of Yehuda, because from there forth came kings. It states Lo Yoser Shevet Mi Yehuda. This is what Yaakov told Yehuda, that the staff of leadership will never leave from you, and that's from David ve'Elech, from King David onward. Therefore, he was known as Ke'achad. So we see that Don was compared to Yehuda. We find the second place where Don was compared to Yehuda. And that's when Moshe also blessed the nation. Yaakov blessed the people before he died, and Moshe in Zeis HaBrocha blessed the people before he died. And in Zeis HaBrocha, Moshe said, and this was in Dvorim Lamed Gimel Posuchov Beis, Uladon Omar, to Don he said, Don Guraye, Don will be like a young lion. He called him a young lion. And this is what Yaakov called Yehuda. He also called him. He said, Gur Ari Yehuda, in the blessings to Yehuda. So we see here both of them compared Don to Yehuda. Therefore, since Yehuda was the king over everyone, it was through this that Don rose to become the king over his camp. Now the question is where do we see that Don became such a king? So the Chazal tell us it is referring to the seed of Don. And who was this? There was a great individual that was to come from Don, and he would be very, very powerful, very great, and a great shofet. He would judge the people. And it would be so great that they would compare him to Yehuda. And this is Shimshon. This is Samson. And Shimshon is considered the greatest of the seed that would come from Don. It states in the Novi that he judged Israel for 20 years. And he would fight their wars for them and protect them from the Plishtim, from the Philistines. Therefore, it also says that in the brocha that Yaakov gave him, he says, Don Yodinami Keachet Shifti Israel, Don will judge his nation like one of the tribes of Israel. Yehi Don Nochosh Alei Derech Shfifa in Alei Orach. Don will be like a serpent. He will be like a serpent which goes on the way. And he compared them to two serpents. He called them a Nochosh and a Shfifon. These were two different types of serpents. Aneshech ikvei sus vayipul reich veyochor. And he will be like a serpent. The serpent will bite the heel of the horse, and the horse will throw the rider and kill the rider. This will be the seed which will come from Don. And the Targum writes, and Rashi also brings, on this posuk, Midbeis Don Yisbechar V'yokum Gavra B'yemei Yisporek Ame. From the household of Don will be chosen a very great individual, and in his time he will come, and he will be the Gael. He will redeem his nation. Yenuchun kechado shivtai di Israel bushnei. And during his years, he will bring peace to Klal Yisrael. The Targum learns keachad, where they all will rest together. They all will have peace together. Yigavr disbachar v'yokum mitbeis don emso tisreme al amamo. And he will cast a fear on the nations. Umahose tiske beplishtoi. A dread will go against the Philistines. Kichive churman. He will be like a serpent. And Rashi explains that a serpent which is known as a churman. And this is a serpent, she'ein refuose l'nishichose, that there is no cure to its venom. And just like there's a dread by everyone when it comes to this serpent, this is the Shvifon. This is what Yaakov called Don in regards to Shimshon. because he will cast a fear and a dread on the plishtim like this serpent. Now, get a little more background into this. Let us just go to the Navi and learn a little more about Shimshon. In Sefer Shoftim, from Perek Yud Gimel onwards, 13th Perek, it states, Vayosifu b'nei Yisrael la'aseh hara b'nei Hashem. And the children of Israel continue to do evil in the eye of Hashem. Vayitneim Hashem b'yaplishtim arboim shonot. And Hashem gave them over to the plishtim, where he allowed the plishtim, the Philistines, to give them tzoros for a long period of time, for 40 years. By he, ish echod mitzora, mishpachas adoni ushmei manayach. And there was a certain man, and he was from mishpachas adoni. He came from the tribe of Don, the ishte akora, and his wife was barren. Loyalada. She wasn't able to give birth. And then it tells us the story. Vayira Malach Hashem Aleisha. An angel came to the woman one day. And she said, he said, you will give birth. You will give birth to a son. And guard him carefully. Valtishte Yain Veshechal. Do not let him drink any wine. Altechli Kol Tome. Do not let him become impure. Umeira layala oresha, and do not cut his hair. Ki nazir elikim yanar min aboten, because he will be a nazir, he will be a Nazirite from birth. Buhu yochel lehishia shisham yad plishtim, and he will become the great redeemer, the great protector for Yisrael against the plishtim. And she came and she ran and she told her husband, and she was all excited. She saw this person, she didn't know who he was, and he wouldn't say what his name was and so forth. And her husband Manoach prayed to Hashem, and he said, let him come again and tell us clearly what we should do. So again it happened in the field that the man came again, and she ran and she got her husband, and he told them the same thing. And then they wanted to be mechabed him, give him what to eat and so forth, and he said no. And he said you could make a sacrifice, and then a flame came and consumed the sacrifice. But before that he said again, Vayim ha-malach Hashem, then they realized he was an angel. Mikol asher amati ala isha tishomer. Mikol asher yetzi migefen hayayin leisechal. Anything that comes from the vineyard, he shall not eat. Yain v'shechal taste. He shouldn't drink any wine, be it new wine or old wine. V'chol tuma leitechal sechal, and he should not eat any impurities. And then he disappeared. And Manoach thought that they saw Hashem, they saw his angel. They will die. And his wife said, no, if Hashem wanted to kill us, so he wouldn't have taken our sacrifice which we brought, and he wouldn't have shown us all of this. As the time went on, she gave birth, and they called his name Shimshon. And the lad grew up, Vayivorchehu Hashem, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed him. Vatoch al ruach Hashem lepamei b'machnei Don, and he started to become a prophet, and this was in the camp of Don. And then the Torah tells us that one day he saw a woman from the Bnei Plishtim, from the Philistines. So he went and he told his father and his mother. He says, Isha ri'isi b'simnose b'mneis plishtim. I saw this woman, this young girl. I want to marry her. Take her for me. the Chazal bring, the Rambam, that she was not Jewish, but he said he would be Magayah, he would convert her. His parents answered him like any parents would. There's not enough Jewish girls around that you have to go to the Plishtim, to the Philistines, to find a wife. So he said, no, also kachli kihi yoshra ve'enoi. No, you must take her for me because she is yoshra ve'enoi. She is very upright, very beautiful in my eyes. The father and mother didn't know that actually HaKadosh Baruch Hu had placed a cheshek, a desire, a love in Shimshon's heart for her. He saw Ano Hu Mevakesh Miplishtim, because he wanted Shimshon to get involved with the Philistines. So from there can come a war and Shimshon can give them a good mapola, a good hammering. Uveisahi plishtim meishli b'Yisrael, and at that time Shimshon, the Philistines ruled, oppressed Klal Yisrael. Then the Novi tells us, it states that Shimshon was going, and always he was going on his way, and all of a sudden a young lion charged him. And the spirit of Hashem came on him, and he went, and without any weapons, he tore the lion in half. He never told his father and mother. And then they spoke, they talked about the shidduch and this and that. And then it tells us a whole story that we won't go into, where he told the riddle over to the other plishtim, and he made a bet with them, and they tried to find out the answer from the woman he was supposed to marry, and from there came a whole quarrel, and it got Shimshon very angry, and he went and he killed 30 plishtim because of that. And then the father-in-law went, his future father-in-law went and decided not to give her to Shimshon. And because of that, Shimshon became angry, and he went and he captured 300 foxes, and he tied them to their tails 2 by 2, and put a torch on their tails, and let them run loose, and they burnt down half the place there by the plishtim. And this created more dissension. And then the plishtim went and took revenge against his future father-in-law, and against this woman that was supposed to be his wife. So he went and he gave them even a greater mapola. And the Novi tells us the enormous strength he had, which was an inhuman strength. No chains could hold him, no ropes could hold him. He could come to the gates of the walls of the city and tear them apart. And he could fight against thousands. Here it states, that with the jawbone of a donkey, he went and he fought against the plishtim and he killed 1,000 of them. Finally, the Navi tells us that he met up with this woman, Delilah, and he fell in love with her, and he was going to marry her. And the nobility, the kings and the princesses of Plishtim came to her, and they influenced her to try to find the secret of Shimshon's strength, and finally she got it out of him. But he said that his strength comes. His strength comes. Vayagid lo es kol libay. Vayemel lo meire le ola reishi kinezir elikim ani bibetanimi. He He finally told her the truth, that no scissors has, no blade has ever cut his hair, because he is a Nazir Elikim, a Nazirite from the womb of his mother. And if his hair would be cut, he would lose his strength. So when he was sleeping, she gave the secret over to the officers of the Plishtim, and they came and they cut his hair, and he lost his strength. And they bound him up, and they took him, they captured him, they put him in jail, and they all came together to make a great simcha and to sacrifice to their gods, because this arch enemy of theirs who was giving them such mapolos was captured. They made a great banquet, Vayiki Tev Libom, and when they were at the height of their merriment, they said, Kiru Lishimshon V'Yisachak Lanu, bring in this giant Shimshon, and we will have sport with him. Oh, I forgot to mention that what they did, Vayinakru Einei Plishtim, Einei Shimshon, when they had captured him, they cut out his eyes. So he was blind now. And so he said, call Shimshon, bring him from the dungeon, and we will have sport with him. They brought him into the great, it was a great hall. It was holding multitudes of people. And there they could all enjoy themselves, like laughing at him and mocking him and so forth and so on. And so they showed everyone their captive. And Shimshon said to the lad who was holding him, leading him around, bring me to the pillars, to the main pillars of the great hall, which the great hall, the ceiling of the great hall, the roof rests upon, so I might lean against them. And the great hall was full of men and women, and all of the nobility of and the military of the Plishtim were there. And on the roof alone there were 3,000 of them that were mocking Shimshon. And Shimshon called out to Hashem, and he said, Hashem Elikim, Zochreni no vechaskeni no achapam azeh olekim. Kodesh Baruch Hu, please remember me and give me back my strength just this time. Binok mo nekam achas, and I will take one revenge, mishtei enai miplishtim. One revenge for both of my eyes from the plishtim. Chazal say, Rashi brings, Zuchor, what did he say, Zochreini? Why should he remember? Zuchor chof shona sheshofadati es Yisrael. Remember the 20 years which I have judged Yisrael with great integrity. Le'amati le'echon mehem havi li makel zeh mimokom lemokom. And even though I was the shofet, in those days the shofet was like the king. And even though I was like the king of Israel, in 20 years I never asked one, please carry my stick from this place to that place. I never asked anything from them. I only gave to them. I judged them for 20 years with integrity. And then he said, let me take, give me one revenge for both of my eyes. Schar ein hashenis hanechli leila mabo v'kam porali schar achas mehen. Give me the reward in this world for one of my eyes, and the reward I'll have of not, which you still owe me for avenging my second eye, that you'll give me in the next world. Meanwhile, his hair was growing back. So Shimshon went and he took hold of the two pillars that was holding up the building, and he leaned against it with all of his strength, one with his right arm and one with his left. And he said, let Midai together with the Plishtim, Bayed Bekeach, and he pushed with all of his strength. Bayipal Abayis Alashronim, Baukola Amashirbay, and the great hall fell, and all of the nobility and the officers and the whole nation Asherbo, Bayuamesim Asherhemish Bemeser Rabbi Mesherhemish Bechayot. And he had killed that moment more Philistines at the time of his death than he had killed during his lifetime. Vayedu Echo v'chol beis Ovihu, and his brothers and his father's house came, Vayisu Osei, and they carried him, Vayalo v'yikbru, and they buried him, Beimsora v'neshtol bekever Manoach Oviv, in the grave sites of Manoach, his father, v'shafat es Yisrael esrim shona, and he judged Israel for 20 years. Rashi tells us with the Chazal Darshan that another intent that Yaakov had when he said that he will be like a nochosh in a shvifal, like a serpent which bites the heel of the horse and then the horse falls and throws its rider, this was referring to this case, that he'll be able to kill his enemy without touching them by taking the pillars of the hall and letting the whole hall collapse and kill everyone there. Now, when they came to bring their gifts, this is what they had in mind. They had in mind, their individual intent was to bring their gifts in honor of the greatest seed that will come from Don, Shimshon, and also in honor of the Nozir, of the Nazirite, in general. Because Shimshon derived his power from being a Nazir Elakim, a Nazirite to Hashem. So to give you a few examples, the Midrash says, Karo Kesev Shleishim Umeya Mishkolo, that they brought this basin of silver, which was 130 shekel. Karo is a basin which you also carry bread in. One of the exclusive points of the sacrifice of the korban of the Nozir, where he would bring sal, matzeh, seles, chaleis, belulais, b'shemen, or the kike matzeh, meshuchi, b'shemen. He would bring loaves of bread with his sacrifice. So this was as a remembrance to that. Kuf Lamed Mishkola, it was the weight of 130 shekels. The Medrash says that if you will count in the Parsha of Nozir, which is also in Nozir, from the words Vizos Torah HaNozir, these are the laws of the Nozir, until the Acha Yishta Nozir Yain, Zeish Teres HaNozir, this is referring that what should the Nozir do, for example, if he accepts upon himself this Nazirus for 30 days, after 30 days, what does he do? So the Torah tells us, Zeish Teres HaNozir, these are the laws of the Nozir, what he should do, the sacrifices he brings, and so forth. And then it states, V'acha Yishta HaNozir Yain, then he's allowed to drink wine. So there are exactly 130 words. So they had in mind that the weight of 130 shekel was against the 130 words. Mizrach Echot Kesev Shivim. They brought this this bowl, this basin, a mizrach, which was round, and it was 70, the weight of 70 silver shekel. This round mizrach was also used to drink wine from. So this was the symbol that now, after the by a regular Nazirite, Shimshon was a Nazirite his whole life, but by regular Nozir, if he becomes a Nozir for a certain amount of days, afterwards he's allowed to drink wine. So this was a sign that he could drink wine now. And Shivim shekel, the 70 shekelim, this is the gematria, the numerical value of the letters of wine. Wine is Yud Yud Nun, which numbers 70. Another intent that they had in Mizrok is Mizrok, we mentioned this was a type of a cup, which was called the Mizrok because it was round, like a ball, and therefore it was called Mizrok because a ball is thrown one from the other. This was also as a remembrance of Shimshon, the way he would throw the rider from the horse. In other words, referring to that case where he destroyed the Plishtim in the Great Hall. It states, when it came for the sacrifice of the Ola, so they brought one, Parechot, Ailechot, Kevesechot. They brought three different types of animals, the bull, the ram, and the sheep. This was to represent the three precautionaries which the angel told the wife, the mother of Shimshon. He told her, Mikola Sheyetz Megefanayan Le Seichel, this was all in one pasuk, that anything that comes from the vineyard he should not eat. There was the grapes, Yain V'Sheichel Al Tisht, he should not drink any wine which is made from them, and Bechol Tuma Al Teichel, and he should keep away from all impurities. The Sir Izim Echol Chatos. Then there was the goat which was brought for the Chatos. This they had in mind also. Seir is actually means hair. Comes from the word sar. The goat is called Seir because he's a hairy animal. So this they had in mind, the sar, the hair, because Shimshon was commanded, the mother of Mora Leyala al Reishoi, that you shall not take a blade to cut his hair, Kinezir Hashem Yanar Minaboten, because he will be a Nozer, a Nazareth from the time of birth. Then it states that for the Korban Shlomim there should be two bullocks. Why two? Because by his father Yaakov he was compared to two types of animals, the Nochosh and the Shvifun. These were the two types of serpents which are dreaded. Also because two different people compared him to two different things. Yaakov compared him to the serpent and the Shvifun, and Moshe compared him to the young lion Goraye in their brochas. Further examples. The reason why there were two species of these animals for the Shlomim, because twice does it say in Sefer Shoftim that he judged the people for 20 years. At the end of the, right after he died, this is at the end of Perek Tezayin, 16th Perek, it states, for Hushafat is Yisrael Esrim Shona, he judged the people for 20 years. And then also, at the end of Perek Tesvov, 15th Perek, it also states, by Yishpait as Yisrael Bimei Plishtim Esrim Shona, he judged the people 20 years. So why does the Nach tell us twice? He judged the people for 20 years. So the Midrash states, Lulam Decho, Shekhov Shona Shofat es Yisrael Bechayov, Bechov Shona Acha Misosa. He actually led the people for 40 years. For 20 years he judged them during his lifetime and he led them. And for 20 years after, the fear and the dread of Shimshon still remained under Plishtim. So therefore, they had 40 years of rest from the Plishtim because of the 20 years that Shimshon lived. Chofshona achar misosa hayemeirish Shimshon aplishtim vayeshvu beheshket. So these were the two pairs of 20 years. And then finally also as the remembrance of the Beis Amudei HaTovach. Why two of the species? To remember the two pillars that he went and he pulled down in order to destroy the Plishtim. So these are some of the examples taken from the Medrash that when Don brought his korban, it was not only for the general intent but also for the particular intent of the great personality, the great individual that would come from their tribe. To go a little more into this individual, Shimshon, the Gemara and Seita in the first paragraph, Daf Yud, Omer Aleph, the Gemara brings Yom Rabbi Yechanan. Shimshon Donesh Yisrael Ki Aviyam Shebishamay. Rabbi Yechanan comes and says even more. We were saying that Shimshon Don Yodi Nesamay Ki Achat Shifti Yisrael, that from Don will come a great leader and a judge who will judge his people like that single one, Ke'achad, and we said that referred to Yehuda, which the Chazal do say. In other words, he will be like a king, like Yehuda. Rabbi Yechanan says even further, Shimshon judged Yisrael, Ke'aviyam Shev Shavayim. He judged Yisrael like the single one in the world, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Shnemar don yodin amai ke'achad. He shall judge Israel like that single one. He referred him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'amar Rabbi Yechanan, and Rabbi Yechanan said further, Shimshon, what does the name Shimshon mean? What does the name Shimshon mean? I remember I was a young bocher, and a balabos once asked me, what does the name Shimshon mean? And I couldn't answer him. Shimshon, Shah. What does it mean? It's a strange name. Shimshon. So Rabbi Yechanan answers it. He says, Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Shimshon al Shmei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nikro. When his parents gave him a name, I don't know if the angel told him to name him that, but they named him Beruach HaKadosh. They were given a prophecy to give him the right name. Shimshon was named after one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shinemar ki shemesh umogein Hashem elekim. In Tehillim Pei Dalet it states that Hashem is a shemesh umogein. Umogein means a shield. Shemesh we know means the sun, but the Rashi brings here, aside from referring to the sun, it refers to a great choma, a wall, a shield. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a wall, like a shield. So that's what Shimshon will be. He will be like a shemesh and a mogein. It's a combination of two words, of the word shemesh and the combination of mogein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it states shemesh u'mogein. The combination of those two words is Shimshon. And this meant that he will be like a wall, a mighty wall and a protector for Klal Yisrael, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. The Gemara says if these are the names of Hashem, it's a shaila if you could erase this name. So the Gemara says, no, you can. And it explains why. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu megin al kol ha'olam kula, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects on the entire world, of Shimshon megin b'deir al Yisrael. So does Shimshon also protect, did he protect Klal Yisrael in his generation? From here we see the greatness of this individual. Not only was he compared to Yehuda, and Yehuda was the Rosh Hashvotim, the Melech, but Kechad Achad Yisrael, Rabbi Yechanan goes further to say that he was compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he was named after the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was called Ki Shemesh Umogein Hashem Elekim. His Shimshon comes from the word Shemesh Umogein, Shimshon. He will be a wall and a protector. The Maral brings in his Agodas we see that Shimshon, firstly, he was blessed with enormous strength, that we see, and he was a protector. But we see also that he was nishtabech, he was praised because of his mishpot, a shefet. He wasn't just a brute that would go out, a physical giant and go out. He was a Shechet Yisrael. He was the Melech. He was the king of Yisrael at that time. But Dones Amoy, he judged the people. and he judged the people for 20 years with Mishpat. So the Maral brings that it's very rightly so that he should be compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because it states HaMishpat Lelakim. In the Torah it states that when we come to judge people, and the judgments of the people which are by the judges are ultimately under the king. The king is carries the ultimate responsibility to see that there is order and integrity and righteousness in the country. So there it states that one must be very, very careful in judging, because to come to the ultimate righteousness of judgment is the most difficult midah, the most difficult quality. Ki amishpat lelakim, because only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can really judge perfectly. He writes, for example, he says this many times, when it comes to rachamim, rachamim is where you have compassion a little more, a little less, doesn't make a difference. Chesed is where you do something good to people even if they don't deserve it, so it doesn't make a difference. But the mishpat has to be exact. The mishpat was always compared to lachte chasadin, nifse chasadin, to a cutting knife, a cutting edge. The mishpat has to be exact. You have a litigation between two people. You go a little to one side, then you're taken away from the other. It's a distortion of the deen. And that, the ultimate, that's emes at its greatest height. And emes at its greatest height, that's chay somay shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amishpat lelakim. But if Shimshon was able to judge his people for 20 years, and that's what he said, remember that I judged the people for 20 years, he had a keach, he had a power from above. And this is why Rabbi Yechanan darshens that he will be don es amoy ki achad, like one of the shvotim ki achad. That's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the judgment, he says, is always one. There can't be two. They say when there's lies, there can be many lies. But the truth is only one truth. There's only one truth. Lies, there can be many. But only one truth. So this also refers, when it says ke'achad, like the singular, this is referring to truth at its highest level. And this can be only one. And this can be like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if Shimshon had that power, this was an enormous godliness that came abrocha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This shows you his height. And he says this is why he's compared to the Shemesh, to the sun, because the sun also rules alone. The moon rules together with many, many stars. Stars rule together with other stars. That's at night. But the day was given over to a single force, and that was the Shemesh, the sun. And therefore his name was Shimshon, where he became like a Shemesh and a Mogen, which is a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to Klal Yisrael. We could go a step further, because actually we find that Rachel evidently also had this Ruach HaKodesh, because she cried to Hashem to give her a son, and she was HaKodesh, she was barren, and after four sons were born to Leah, and her prayers weren't answered, so then she said, "I'll give my shivcha, my maidservant Bilhah, to Yaakov, and she will bear a son for me." And when she did, it states in Vayetze, Perechov Tes, Posuk Vov, "Vatomer Rochel." Rochel said, "Donani Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has judged me. Begam Shoma Bikoli." He has heard my voice, he has heard my claims, and he has judged me. Vayiten li ben, and he gave me a son, al kein koreshmei don, Therefore, she called him Don. So evidently, Don was born with the Midas HaDin. Don was born through Din and Mishpat, because this is what Rachel said. Rachel said, Donani Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has judged me, and he found me righteous, he found me right, and for that he gave me this son. Therefore I will call this son Don, which will mean Din, that this is the ultimate justice. And therefore Yaakov blessed Don, and he said, Don Yodin Amai. Don will judge his people with ultimate justice. Ka'achat, Shifte Yisrael, like one of the Shifte Yisrael, either Yehuda or even more like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And where will this be? Through his seed, through Shimshon. Now, if this is so, we have a kasha, we have a question. The Gemara tells us, also on Seita Daf Yud, it states, Tana Rabbonin, Chamisho Nivru Me'en Dugma Shel Malo. There were five individuals that were given, they were created with a Dugma Shel Malo. A Dugma Shel Malo means they were created with a certain quality that was not from this world, but that was from beyond this world. Rashi says, Nishtanu min atachtonim. They were created differently than all other creations, litiferes. And that difference was a great praise, a great tiferes, a great beauty for them. What are we speaking about? Chamisha nivra mein dugma shel malo. Five were created with a quality that was not from this world, but from above. Vekulan loku behem. And they all were punished. They all suffered from it. They were punished for it. Shimshin bekeichai. Shimshin's keach, the power, the force that Shimshin had, you don't find in this world. You should know many of the today you have your videos with your movies, with your computer games and so forth and so on. But in literature, for thousands of years, you have stories. And if you go back to the early ones, and from the early ones, the other ones were built on. And you have all types of stories and legends and fiction and so forth. You should know that Rubik Kekulam, the majority of them, were taken from the Torah and the Nach. And the image where we always have an individual that's a Superman. And Superman has changed guises and identities thousands of times through the literature of the world. But what was a Superman? That was an individual that had super strength. This was taken from Shimshon. We find that there was an individual who had superhuman strength. And this is what the Chazal is saying. Chamishon nivru me'ein dugma shel malo. There were five that were created with a quality that you don't find in this world. It came Lamala, was a super, some type of superhuman quality. But it became a downfall. Shimshin Mekechai. Shimshin was with his Keach. How did it become a downfall? Rashi says it. He lost it. He caused himself to lose it. Then it states, Shaul Bitzavorai. Shaul with his neck. Rashi says, "Vayigba mikol ha'am mishichma yolamala." Shaul, we always say, was tall. No, he wasn't tall. It states he was the tallest man in the nation. Tall means he's tall, but there could be thousands of people that height. There was only one person, Shaul's height, because it states he was the tallest man in the nation. And not only was he tall, sometimes a person is tall, but he's not necessarily good looking. Shimshon had a stature which you could, there was no one in all Israel that could compare to it. This is what the Nach is telling us. That when he would stand amongst the whole nations, he would be shoulders above them. Like he was built for a king. And he lost it. He fell. I'm not going to go into what happened here, because on some of these Rashi says he's not sure himself what happened. But then it states Avishalom is Sarai. The Nach tells us that Avishalom had beautiful hair. It wasn't just beautiful hair. It was the most beautiful hair. It was beauty beyond his creation. It ended up to be his down home. Tzidkiyahu be'enov asa beraglov. Now Rashi, as I mentioned, he says he's not sure what all of this means. Tzidkiyahu be'enov and asa beraglov. But nevertheless, we're interested at this point in Shimshon. So it states that he was given this enormous quality, but he lost it. He caused himself to lose it. Then the Mishnah states, this is on the Tesamad Beis, Shimshon holach acher einov. Shimshon went after his eyes. Lefichoch nokru plishtim es einov. Therefore the plishtim, it ended up, it's referring how mido keneged mido, therefore it ended up that the plishtim took out his eyes. As it states, vayechoseo plishtim einakru es einov. Goes on to Avishalom, he was hung by his hair and so on. The Gemara brings Toner Rabbonin Shimshon Bein of Morad Shinemar. Shimshon went after his eyes, as it says, Vayeme Shimshon Alovi Eso Kachli Kihi Yoshra Be'enai. He told his father when he saw this young girl, he said, take her for me because she is beautiful in my eyes. So we see that he was going after his eyes, Lefichoch Nokru Plishtim Esenov, therefore he ended up with the Plishtim, took out his eyes. The Gemara says, but it states, but it states that Demes HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him, made it that he would be drawn and attracted to this woman. So why was that his fault? No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that he should have love for this girl. But when Shimshon said that, take this girl for me because I want her, he says he didn't take her because I have fallen in love with her. He says because he yoshra be'enoi, because she is so beautiful in my eyes. And from here we see that he was drawn after his eyes. Now, so what are we asking? Here we're speaking from one aspect, a person that was so great, but he came to the level of Mishpat and of Malchus like Yehuda, and even levels of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ke'achad, and he judged the people with righteousness and with justice, and he protected the people like HaKadosh Baruch Hu for 20 years. And here we see it states that he himself caused his downfall. He caused his downfall with his by, and he caused the loss of his strength which he was given. And he himself caused that he should be blinded by the plishtim, because he was, this is just one example, but consistently he was going after his eyes. How could this be? The Maral says, and he has said, he has stated this principle in a number of places. He says, he anothenes, really one is the cause of the other. A person was created B'Tzelem Elokim. He was given the image of Hashem. But he was given a degree of it. If a person is given too much of the Tzelem Elokim,
too high of a degree. This becomes an enormous lofty level. A lofty level that a person is given is a very dangerous level. From one aspect, it's wonderful because he's given such a lofty level. But from the other aspect, many times it's impossible, or if it's not impossible, it's extremely difficult to keep a lofty level in its totality. There will be shortcomings. And shortcomings at any level is dangerous and can become the downfall of a person. He goes on to explain in the Agodas and other places also, why was it that we see that Odom, who was the handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, failed. He was not capable of bringing the light of Hashem to the world. Each generation degenerated more until HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to destroy the world. Then came Noah. And Noah was so great, also failed. Was not able to bring the light of Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. Each generation degenerated until at the end of 10 generations after Noah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was ready to destroy the world. The whole world had gone after idolatry and everything else. Everything else. Murder, profanities, immorality, and so on. But Avraham, who was already 20 generations later, far from the creation of the world, far from the handiwork of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to the contrary, he was born at the lowest levels. He wasn't like an Adam that was created in full stature. He was born at the lowest levels. He was born to a world that didn't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam writes, he was born in a world that the whole world worshipped Avodah Zarah. There were maybe four or five individuals throughout the whole world that recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that time, and they were distant places from Avraham. And he was born into a city of idolaters and into a home of idolaters, and his own father was not only an idolater, but he was an idol maker, and he worshipped together with them idols. So he came from the lowest level, and Avraham was to become the giant that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at the creation of the world, "Vayhi or, let there be light," he said, "I'm not referring to the physical light of the sun. I'm referring to 20 generations down the line there will be a light that will be for the whole world." Avraham and his seed. He says, "Why is it?" He says, "That's the reason." He says, "When you're given a high level, it's very dangerous. Can you hold that level in totality? And if you cannot, then it can be disastrous." Many times people think, well, if I got a high level, so at least I'll have a piece of it. Now, it's like a weight. You're given 20 pounds to hold, you can hold it. You're given 1,000 pounds to hold, if you're capable of holding it in totality, good. If you can't hold it in totality, it'll crush you. You become top heavy. And this is what the Chazal say in Ovish: a tree with few roots, but enormous branches, that becomes its downfall. Because when a storm and winds will come, it has no roots, it'll rip it right out faster than other trees because it's so top heavy. And Adam was given the highest level as a gift. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the Tzelem Elokim. And Noah, who also was only 10 generations, he was given enormous levels as a gift. And in the end it crushed them. Avraham was not given any levels. He was not born with any levels as gifts. Everything that he acquired himself. When a person comes to high levels after acquiring low levels, one after another after another, that's a different thing then. That's like the tree that it states in Masechet Ovish that has enormous roots, more roots than branches. That all the winds in the world will come and cannot topple the tree. Because when a person works from the top down, then he's working with the branches and few roots. When he works from the bottom up, he starts to sink his roots and more roots and more roots. When he comes to these levels, they're his in totality. And he says this was the danger with these five. These five were given superhuman qualities. Shimshon was a superman, states. Dugma Shalmalo, what he had was not from this world, it was from a different world. Physical strength does not allow one to fight against thousands of people and kill them all with a jawbone, or to come and rip out the gates of a city and put them on their shoulders and carry them away. This was Midugma Shalmalo. And the same thing with Shaul and so forth. And this he did not acquire himself. He was given this. So from one aspect it's an enormous gift, but from another aspect it can spell disaster. And this is what the Chazal is telling us. It states Chamisha Nivru Me'in Dugma Shel Ma'alo V'Kula Loku Behem. This became their downfall. And Shimshon in particular with the eye, because when you reach a level, you dare not go to a higher level until you are in control of that level in totality. It's like you study. If you're in grade 1, you can't go to grade 2 until you have achieved and mastered everything in grade 1. If you're in grade 8, you can't go to grade 9 until you've mastered everything in grade 8. If you do, you'll still see the results. It'll collapse. If you build a business, you cannot build a bigger, expand it to become a bigger business until you've mastered what you have now. If you do, then it's going to be lacking. Shlema Melech writes, the eye is never satisfied. The eye is always lacking. The fact that he was constantly going after his eyes, this was a sign that he was lacking at that level. The eye is never, Shlema Melech said, the eye is never full. We can never see enough. The eye is always lacking. Whatever we have, our eyes want more. This perhaps could be, the Maral doesn't say this, but perhaps this could be that we see, it's not common, but it's not that uncommon. Throughout history, and we come into confrontation with this in our own lives, we meet individuals that are given enormous abilities in one area or another. You had in the arts, you had the Rembrandts. In music, you had your Mozarts, your Bach, your Tchaikovsky, whatever. And they became famous. They became famous not because what they had was common. If they had what was common, they wouldn't have become famous. And we're talking about famous. They became famous, a timeless famousness. But they were not lost with time. Yet if ever you read or study about their lives, in almost all of the cases you find their lives were disastrous. Almost in all the cases. They were a disaster as a person living. And we meet people in our lives, all right, they're not Bach and Mozart, but many times we meet people who are gifted. We call them gifted. They're given an enormous intelligence or enormous ability. And many times, it's not uncommon to find that these people, with all their gifts, have a great trouble controlling the abilities and gifts that they have. They have a great trouble. And it could be similar to what the Maharal is saying here. Because these are gifts are not that they have earned. They were born with them. And it gives them such a lofty level. The question is if they can really control such a level. And they have great problems controlling all of these abilities. This is the classical example what people always said, that genius is carries with it its mishigasan also. It's idiosyncrasies. At any rate, so here we had, this was Shimshon. At any rate, Shimshon became the shofet of his nation for 20 years. And this was the greatest of Don. And therefore, when Don and Achiezer brought their korbonos, their sacrifices, and their gifts, this is what they brought them in honor. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.